Blog Talk Radio.
There is a word especially for you. When you think you're about to give up gas, just read your Bible, it'll tell you what to do. Be not weary, in doing well, for in due season you're gonna reap. Yeah, say be not weary.
Well, hello, welcome once again. My name is Minister Joel Lewis, and you're listening to Free on the Inside, an internet program to inform you, to encourage you, and to challenge you to be all you could be. We're back in the studio today, and we are happy to be back in the studio. But we had a great time last weekend. We was on location last weekend. We pray that you were able to follow the program and listen to the exciting events that were being sponsored with this program that we were part of last weekend. It was called the Reconnecting Family Summit. It was hosted by an organization called Dal Rock. They are a youth ministry, and they were in the Dallas area, in the Dallas and DeSoto, in that area there. But also they was they had a workshop going on over there, and we had a great turnout. We had a large number of people out last weekend. It was great. They had a great teaching format. They had some entertainers out there, and they had some speakers on stage. So we had a great time. They had good food also, and so we had a great time. And we would like to bring some of those participants on the show at a later date. But again, our show is pre-recorded, so you could go back and listen to it. And that was the Reconnecting Family Summit, hosted by Dal Rock, and Miss Vicky White sponsored that program along with her ministry team. So our hat goes off to her, and we had a great time over there. But today we're gonna have a special treat for you today. We're gonna do the best of some of the shows that we've done in the past. You may have enjoyed some of them. You may have missed some or most of them. But this is an opportunity for you to go back and listen to them again. We're gonna do short excerpts of those shows there, and so you too can be encouraging and all our guests give our contact number. So please grab your paper and pen and just write down the contact numbers, and that you too can call them up and say, hey, I would like to be a part of what you're doing. I heard you on the program, and I was encouraged by what I heard. But this morning we'd like to start off our program with a young man that he have a magazine in Fort Worth called he's Aaron Thomas, and his magazine is called if I can get the name here, I got it here on my paper here, it's called The Examiner magazine, that's over in the Fort Worth area. And he's going to come on and he's going to share with us some things concerning his magazine and how he's attempting to reach those brothers and sisters that is less fortunate. But he got a great magazine. His magazine deal with health and wellness, fashion, and short stories. So you will be encouraged by what you hear from Mr. Aaron Thomas this morning. And then we're going to have another pre-recorded interview, and we're going to just follow that format. This is what we was going to do last weekend, but because we were asked to go out and do a live broadcast for the Reconnecting the Family Summit, and so we went on and done that. And so the call-in number is 310-982-4126. You two can call in and just ask some questions regarding some of the interviews that you would hear this morning here. And we do have a list of contact numbers, so if you need to say, hey, I want to reach out to this person, please let me have that number. And so we're going to go home right now. We're going to have an interview from Mr. Aaron Thomas. He's hosts a magazine in the Fort Worth area. So sit back and enjoy. You to encourage you and to challenge you to be all you could be in Christ Jesus. We'd like to say hello and a shout out to the sponsor of this program, Granny's Place and Beverly Beasley and her staff. Granny's Place is a nonprofit ministry, a 501(c) accredited, that's attempting to meet the needs of our young men and women at risk. At Granny's Place, we have a computer training class, we have an after school a touring program, and we have life skill courses that's available for our young men and women. It's free of charge. But we will ask you to go to our website. That's grannysplays.org and visit the site, and you see several links on that site there. You too can get involved in what God is up to. We're for a great time this morning. We have a guest that's going to come on this morning. I'm very impressed with this young man, and I'm going to call him up here in a few minutes here. But before we do, we'd just like to just let you know you too can join in on the conversation that me and our guest is having this morning. That number is 310-982-4126. Again, that number is 310-982-4126. And as we dial in our guest this morning here, we'll just encourage you to just kick back and relax and enjoy the conversation here. Amen. And we have Mr. Aaron Thomas of By Design Magazine. And he's going to come on here shortly.
Hello. Hello.
Good morning there, Mr. Thompson. How you doing?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. Welcome to our weekly internet program here. And as we come on to the program here, we will just thank you very much for being a guest this morning.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity to be on your show.
Well, God bless you. I tell you what, introduce yourself and tell us about your gifting.
Well, my name is Aaron Thomas. I am the founder and CEO of By Design Magazine. The gift that I have is God has given me is the gift of publication, this magazine, which is called By Design Magazine, Christian magazine. What I can say about By Design Magazine is it's unique, it's different. It's definitely something for Christians across the board. I'm not looking for anyone to kind of label it or anything, just anyone that loves to be encouraged, inspired, and definitely looking for something to keep them entertained and then also remember that God is present in their lives.
Hey, man, that's great. That's great. As I'm looking at your magazine here, what a beautiful magazine here. What a beautiful layout you have. As you are publishing this magazine, what targeted audience are you attempting to reach?
Well, again, like I said before, I don't really want to feel like I'm targeting one particular group. Because the reason why I say that, I feel like as Christians, there is no label. I feel like God is across the board. He wants everyone to know the message. And so as By Design Magazine grows, of course, I may seem like I, you know, look at more the African-American community because I can identify with that because I am African-American. But my thing is, as Christians across the board, I want everyone to be able to, and even of all ages, to be able to identify with By Design.
All right, that's great. Now, give us some history on this magazine. How did this come about? Because this is nice. I'm looking at it now. This is beautiful.
Well, By Design is now, we're almost 2 years old. In August 2013, we will be 2 years. And how I got started is, By Design is, it started out as an event planning services, because we would do and still do Christian events. And what I wanted to do is I was meeting a lot of individuals that was in the Christian realm, and they was doing, we were doing different dance ministries, artistry such as poetry. And each one of these individuals had a story, because I would always ask them or get feedback behind them. And what I wanted to do is place all those stories because everyone has a journey. And it was very inspirational to get those stories. And I combined all those things that I enjoyed doing, music, dance, singing, and I asked God to give me something that would help people and encourage people. And he gave me this vehicle and By Design.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Now tell me about some of the articles. How do you go about getting your articles for your magazine?
A lot of times the articles, I sit down pretty much throughout the month and I write down my ideals. And I really take the time to go to my different classes, such as church, and I look and I listen to different things that's going on. And a lot of times the articles are brought up either because there's issues I feel that need to be addressed, or either there's things that we as Christians maybe need to, look at. And or understand with a little bit more understanding. And so I get those articles, basically spiritually I ask for answers, and then also just listening what's going on in people's lives.
All right. I know that you're not doing this yourself. Now, what about your staff? How many people you have on your magazine staff?
We have a team of 5 to 6 people. And, of course, I could not do this alone. But I do have a great editor-in-chief. Vanessa Lane. I have, of course, the team that writes Raven Miles. And, of course, we have Bridget Clark and Hypnotic, Gunter, Christy Gunter. And we have all of them that help make up this great publication. And each month we all get together and we come up with the concepts that needs to be addressed. I do come up with the theme, but I do allow the writers to do the ministry part of it and start to go forward.
All right. Now, Tim, where can we pick this magazine up at? Because this is a great magazine here.
You can purchase our magazine. I always say the best way to get it is to contact me directly through our email, which is bydesigneps@hotmail.com. The reason why I say that is directly send an email to us because that way you'll be able to request how many you want. And then, of course, I can communicate with you via email and just to thank you for the opportunity and get them out. If you would like to see the different ones that we have done, you can also go to our website, which is bydesign26thomas.webs.com.
All right. I see. I'm looking at your magazine right now, and I see you have a section here saying a poet heart here. Are you accepting individual poetry from individuals, church members, Christians? What is?
Yeah, I mean, if there's anyone that is interested in having their work public or anything like that, they can definitely email us, and we can communicate with them, and we can, try to help them along and, put those publications aside.
Oh, that's great, Dad. That's great. And as a young person that's trying to develop their talents in writing and journalism, what advice would you give them if they would like to just be a writer?
Well, I would say anything that you want to do in life is a journey. You should always seek God in everything that you do. Always ask Him and seek Him. And then once you've gotten that answer, just continue to learn. Get the education you need. Don't be afraid to ask questions or mentor someone that is in that area. If you don't have anyone to mentor, read books, surf the net to get understanding about how those things can be done. But I would encourage them first to ask God and then seek out those things. He will give you those tools and those people in your life to get you where you need to go.
All right. What a great interview that we had, though, Mr. Aaron Thomas by Design Magazine. Now, he was telling us how to go about developing our writing skills. And he was a great guest in here, and he's a great friend of mine. And so we encourage you to follow up on the information that he shared with us this morning. And we have our co-host on the line this morning here, Mr. Daniels. There, he's called in just to say hello to us. Hello there, Mr. Daniels. Mr. Daniels, you still with us? Okay, we may have lost Mr. Daniels there for a minute, but we're going to go on with the show at hand here.
Good morning.
Well, great.
Good morning,
well, glad you still there with us, man. We're doing an archive show this morning. The best of, man. I'm going through the archives there, Ricky, and I thought, man, we got a lot of stuff here, man. I said, wait a minute. I just don't want to dismiss this. I want to revisit it, man, and encourage other people that, hey, this stuff is real. So tell me, all the shows that you have been a part of and you listen to, which one of them that you really enjoyed?
Basically, I think it was about this lady that said she wrote a book about something about Michael Irvin or something like that. It's been about 4, 5, 6, 7 months ago. She said she was a guy had got saved and she was started our own publishing company or something like that from a book.
Yeah,
can you remember that?
Yeah, and the truth be told is the title of the book.
Yeah.
And that's Miss Allen. T.J. Allen, yes. A great author, great friend, a great conversationist. I talked to her offline, and she got quite a story to tell. And that's what I wanted to do with our archive, to kind of go behind the scenes there. And we had another young lady, man, that's a good friend of mine. She's a regular listener to the show here. Her name is Vera Squire, and she wrote this book, Black Gumbo, man. And, and she was on the show a couple of times, and she was a great guest, man. And so I would love to to do a short segment on her if, when time permits it, man, because that's a great writer. And you know what? I'm very encouraged about people that can write books, man, because I can't do that, but I love how someone can take their thoughts and put it on paper, man.
Well, you know, it's kind of technical now because they have all these programs now. You basically can talk through your telephone and talk through your laptop or tablet, and basically it writes down what you say onto your application. And then what you do, you go to a ghostwriter. That's what it is. And they really straighten up things you really haven't done right. And after then, your publishing companies get you and they get you together, man, and then you got a finished project. That's why you see a whole lot of these ministers and authors and motivated speakers and stuff, man, keep wondering how they keep putting out books so fast. You know? Man, 1 week, 1 month, 3 or 4 months, you know, they got a new book out, new book out. You know,
well,
basically, I said, man, you know, somebody doing something like that, man, let me get off into it, too, man. You know, I got a couple of them in the works, too, man, but I'm kind of slow writing with mine, Jody. You know, mine has to do with a whole lot of things with memoirs. You know, a lot of stuff would happen with me back in my past, back in my days when I was growing up, me and you growing up. A lot of things I'm kind of putting together, man. You're going to see the finished project, man, probably next year. Hope you don't be offended with what I'm saying about you in the book, though, man. It's something good, though, you know.
No, I ain't gonna be offended, man. It's all as long as you know what you know. It just you that long you tell the rest of the story, you know.
Yeah,
let the truth be told.
How you overcame? How we all overcame? You know what I'm saying? We all go through trials and life.
Oh man,
you know
that's my testimony right there, then, brother. You know, hey, but we have another short interview that we have here, man. This guy is no longer with us, man, and I really enjoyed his take on what he was doing. He had one called Finishing in Four, you know,
mm-hmm.
Gale, and he was writing about how we should.
How you can get out of college in 4 years.
He passed on, man. But you know that book is still effective, though, brother. That book is still effective right today, man. And so that's something that we have to be very mindful of, man. That, you know, sometimes we get in things and we start saying, man, how can I get out of this here? And then you realize, man, that you can get out of it, man. And so,
yeah, you know, it took me a long time to get out of college, too, though, Joey. But then, you know, I did it. You know, you can do it if you just put your mind through it, you know.
And then we have a couple other interviews that we like to just bring forth here, man. Now, tell me another show that you really enjoyed, man, because I remember that one by Mitchell, man.
Oh, man, I've been on a couple of them. I know I had one about this this guy. He was a coach, and he coached for the Odessa Permanent.
Friday Night Lights.
Yeah.
Oh, that was a good show, man.
Yeah.
That was a great show there. You
know
what, man?
Yeah, he wrote that book.
You know, Rick, I got some stories to tell about some people behind the scene. That's the purpose of our archives. I can tell what we talk about prior to the show. And a lot of our guests have great stories, man. Like right now, we're going to do an interview. We're going to do a short interview, probably about 3-4 minutes of this program called Beat the Street. There's a street ministry, man, that goes out, man, to those brothers and sisters that's on the street. You know, I got a heart for street ministry, brother. And these people go to those places, man, that people don't even think about. And they go down there and they make health check and health assessments. And they try to get people back on their medication. And they try to make sure that people's physical needs are being met, man. Like, you know, the way the weather's been, it's been so hot, man. And people are dying. We don't hear about them. And sometimes we hear about those real tragedy, man. But people are dying of heat stroke, man. And they go out there and they say, hey, you know, here's some, go over here to this clinic and you can get free assessments and you can get some of these needs taken care of. And people get cuts and bruises and they don't get the proper care, man. It turns out to an infection before you know it, they end up losing a limb. And these people have a heart to go out there and do these things. And me and my grandson, we do street ministry. And, you know, they got these little encampments under the bridges, man, and they all got little names, you know. And it tickles me, man. They got one of them called Wild World and one called Jurassic Park, man. I asked the people, I said, what the hell y'all got these names? They said, man, cause one of them is wild, man. After sundown, it's wild. And another one is, you know, is just like a scary. Jurassic Park, man, and then Wild World. And I said, wow, people, they reflecting the lifestyle they living, man. But them that are restored need to bring them out of that, man. Hey, but I got this guest coming up here, man, or, you know, just our archive show, Beat the Street. Now, do you remember when we done that program?
Yeah. I think it was on location program you did.
Yeah. No, it wasn't on location. They came out. They came out and they didn't hit. Matter of fact, they were doing the we did a revival in South Dallas, and they were a part of the revival team that came out the day that we done.
Yeah,
they came out and they done a great job. But right now we're gonna plug in that sound clip. We're going to kick back. We're going to listen to it a few minutes, and we're going to bring you back. We're going to have another one. We're going to try to find the one that you said you like, man, and see if we can pull that one up. And then we'll talk about some things that happen behind the scene regarding these programs. So the next voice you hear will be some members from the Beat the Street Ministry team. They're coming up right now in the queue. That's great. Now, as you go out and doing this, man, how is it received amongst the community?
It's received really well. What I love most is the gratitude that we get from the people who get the sack lunches. This sincere gratitude and just the love that people have and appreciate when they see us out there. And another thing that we do is we're not out there just as adults, but we're out there with our children. So, you know, a child always brings a smile to a face, and they love it. They really appreciate it, and it's great. It's very rewarding.
Oh, that's great. You know, I had an opportunity to go to your website, and I saw some of the pictures that you had on there. It's well presented, and I really enjoy that website there. So give us the link to that site if anyone would like to go and just see what y'all are up to.
We're predominantly right now do most of our advertisement through Facebook. It seems to be really effective as a social media. So it's once you're in the Facebook, it's Beat the Streets Outreach. So facebook.com/ Beat the Streets Outreach.
All right, that's great, that's great. And I was talking to Christian last week about a health spur, and I was very excited about that. Well, Christy, will you please share some of that with our listening audience?
Yes, absolutely. You know, throughout our times and our feedings, and we've definitely noticed that there's a need just for the basics when it comes to health care. And we have been blessed to be able to partner with some professionals in the community and getting them together and organizing a health fair that's, you know, it's not a, you know, set up as a triage, but we are set up to give those basic stats when it comes to, you know, taking blood pressure, to checking blood sugar, heart rate, things of those nature. But what's really important is that we give them resources as far as numbers to contact in the community and, you know, places to take those numbers that we've gained from the health fair so that they can get assistance when needed. You know, I think the biggest problem sometimes is when the homeless are out, they just don't know where to go or if there's even a problem to begin with. So to be able to welcome them in with open arms and give them something to go with is really, really helpful.
You know, that is so true because as I go out and do street ministry, men and women come up to me and they say, pray for me. I got an illness. You know, I got a stomach ailment. Mm-hmm. I got headaches. And we can pray for them, but we also advise them to go see a physician, go to a doctor.
Absolutely.
And a lot of them have this hesitation. They don't know where to go and what to do. So I thank you for what y'all are doing. You're presenting to them. They know about it, but if they hear it again, it may resonate or may sink in this time.
Absolutely. And someone to just encourage them to get it taken care of. Yeah.
So tell us about your team here. How many people do y'all have on your board of director? And
on the board, I would say it's about 10 to 12. As far as volunteer base, 20 to 30. Am I about right there, Brandy?
Yeah, that's about right. Shout out to our volunteers.
Yeah, couldn't do anything without them.
Definitely.
Well, great. Well, thank you. You know, I went to the site as I was sharing with Brandy, and I saw some of the pictures that you had on there, very well organized, and I like the have y'all bringing in the youth and to help be a part of this ministry, because it's very important for our young men and women to learn to be able to give back as they become successful in life. As you log onto this program, you'll see a slogan that says "Help change a life." You know. And we know that all that help comes from above, but we want to be active in working in the lives of people, because Jesus, told Peter, said, "Peter, when you are restored, you to strengthen your brother." And we never know what form or fashion that may come in. But y'all are doing a great job, and I'm really excited about what y'all are doing and the potentials of doing things.
Yes, thank you.
Absolutely.
And now tell me now, are you based here in Dallas, or where are you based at, or where are your base operation?
Yeah, we are based out of Dallas. Most of our board members live in the Grand Prairie, Arlington area, so I guess that's kind of considered our home base. But we try to rotate our feeding ministry between Dallas and Fort Worth. Fort Worth is really great because it has a homeless community. A lot of resources there available for the homeless community, and Dallas doesn't really have that as much. The difference is when we're in Dallas, we are really beating the streets, almost literally walking down the street, handing out the food, up and down, driving down the streets, trying to find
bleeding the block.
Bleeding the block with
snack
lunches. In Fort Worth, typically, we'll meet up at the Unity Park where they allow us to come as a ministry, and it's a place where we meet. So we're there. There's a huge park, and then the homeless community comes to us. So we kind of get – one's a little easier than the other, but they're both still really necessary and both fulfilling.
Oh, that is great. And I saw going back again to your Facebook page, how you were preparing the sack lunches and things, and how you have our young men and women involved in that activity there. As you prepare a sack lunch, give us an idea, our listening audience, because sometimes people don't realize, what should I do? I want to do this here, but I don't know how to do it. What are some of the items that you have in your sack lunch? Just say your last sack lunch.
Well, that's a great question. So kind of got it down to a science. Our sack lunches will consist of a turkey and cheese sandwich. We've kind of decided that turkey is a better option than ham, just from like a blood pressure perspective, less salt.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll do turkey and cheese sandwiches, a bag of chips. We like to put in some type of fruit snack with their kind of the things that we send with our children to school, the fruit snack. We'll like to put in an apple or some type of orange or apple or fruit. And sometimes we'll put in like maybe a cereal, one of the individual box cereals that you could add milk to later. So that's what they consist of. And we do water and soda. Everybody likes a good orange soda.
Yeah. That's great, because, Kayla, I have people say, I want to do this, but I don't know how. And thank you for giving us an insight on that. Now, tell us about the hygiene kits. I know me and Christian, we talked about that from time to time. And, there's a great need of having hygiene kits available for our residents that's living on the street. Could you share your idea and what your ministry is doing?
Those will contain, we have the bandages, also, toothbrush, toothpaste, hand sanitizer, the deodorant. We try to do both the women and the men. And soaps, whether it be liquid soap or bar soap. Really, all that we have, is the majority of it's donated. And then, of course, we'll purchase the rest. And that all your basics. You know, the basics that we typically have stocked up in our own homes. And
yeah.
We just don't think about that huge need.
And the other thing that's helpful, the other thing that's helpful are just the individual travel size.
Yes.
Things that typically people who travel a lot will get and don't use. What a huge benefit. It's the perfect size.
Right.
It's exactly what you need. You know, if the hotel thinks it's good enough for us, it's good enough for everybody.
Absolutely.
So those are
that is so Oh, what a great interview that we had. I say that to all of my interviews. I am very impressed about the information that we received from the Beat the Street ministry team, and they gave us some insight on how we should conduct ourselves when we're going out to the streets and doing that type of mission. Some of the things that they need there, and I've been a part of stuff like that, and those things, they make a difference in people's lives. We have our co-host on the line here this morning here, Brother Daniel's there, and we thank Brother Daniel for what he's doing, how he's supporting the ministry, how he adds to this program each and every opportunity he gets. So, Brother Daniel.
All right, doing okay. Now, I like to say now, we'll give a little shout-out. This is a free on the inside. If you got anybody who want to call in and add your little comments to any kind of special program that you want to hear, you can call us at 310-982-4126. Again, we like to hear some of y'all comments, too. If you're listening, if you need listening, if you're in the area right now, call in and let us know what you think of some of the most influential programs that we have had on this site. To me, Jody, I think we had a lady, her name was Marion Coleman. She's a playwright and author. Now she's a DJ on the radio. And she had some important things she told us about how she started out and how she started writing poems and writing plays. You know, you remember that?
Yeah, I remember that. That was a good interview.
Yeah.
And I'm glad to hear that she's doing well there. You know, and Ms. Coleman, she was telling us some things about how difficult it was, but she continually to just follow her dream and her passion.
I remember her when she was a student at James Madison High School. You know, she was in the choir and she could sing and everything. And basically, all these talents we have, if you don't really use them, they get kind of rusted. But you never lose them. But if it's in God's will for you to utilize these talents He gave you, it can be 10 years, or 5 years, or 20 years. If it's God's will for you to do something, it's going to happen. If He said it, He's going to do it. And basically, if it's a dream that you want to do or it's something you want to do in life, I'll tell you another thing. You know, a South Dallas thing that we involved in, Brother Raul, that was his dream. That's how his dream started off. You know, he came to America and didn't have nothing, and all of a sudden God told him to do that. You know, he started a business and he started feeding his people on like y'all do. We do every Sunday, and now a lot of people come over and basically we have met a lot of folks through that ministry and through this website ministry. You know,
yeah,
it's amazing
exactly.
how the word of mouth spreads. You know, just you know one person, he tells this other person something, and then you tell somebody, and they got another way. Yeah, I mean, one Thanksgiving, we gave away turkeys to everybody. I never done anything like that, Joe. You know, I gave some food away to people, man, and they just, you all see some of the eyes, you know, the looks in their eyes when you give them a gift. And they say, man, why do I deserve something like this? Well, it's the same thing like God, like Jesus. Jesus is there for us, and you ask, why do I, but, He said, if you believe in me, you can have the goodness and everything else I have to offer to give you, you know. So that's the look that I believe that, you know, you feel when you go out on the street and you talk to these people and they are just bewildered in order to want somebody to tell them that You know, we care about you. We love you. We don't try to tear you down and break you down. We will accept you just like you are in order to help you, to help you grow.
And you know what? That is so true. That is so true because, you know, as you go out and help people, you can't be judging them. You know, they already know what the deal is. They know how dysfunctional their life is. I'm going to put it that way. They know. When a man ain't got no shoes, you ain't got to tell him he ain't got no shoes. He know he ain't got no shoes. We ain't got a place to lay his head. He knows those things. But you should try to direct him to a better way of life, to a better mindset to say, hey, I don't have to live like this. I don't have to, do myself and my family like this here. And you'll be surprised how along with someone else can turn their life around, man. That's why I take this so serious, talking about help change a life. You know, when you know better, you do better, Ricky. Because, you know, I didn't know. And someone like you and other people told me, hey, man, you could do better, man. You got to live like this. And when I started receiving that, man, it turned my life around. And you know that yourself, when, you know, even in your own life. Because we all make mistakes. And none of us is perfect. But we do serve a perfect God, man.
What's this guy named? He said he was an ex football player at Notre Dame, and he had something about financing. He teaches men how to spend their money right. What was his name?
His name is Eric Penton.
Eric.
He does a ministry called Stored in Heaven. Now that's a good friend of mine. And we had a great interview. He's been on here several times, and we may pull something up with him. But now, man, we're gonna stop here for a minute. We have Miss Vera Squire. We conducted an interview with her, and we're gonna let her come on. And I hope that we're able to hear some of her poetry regarding this interview, because it was a great interview, and I'm very encouraged about our conversation. So just kick back and relax, and we'll hear a few minutes of her and myself talking.
Life was like, for me, before the hurricane, I was working two jobs, and I'm not bragging, but I was working, and I had one that was working in a deli, and this was, you know, and on the weekend I did the CNA work at a nursing home. And it just was pleasant, and I was paying my bills. Everything was okay until one day this happened, and it's unbelievable. My life is just on a dramatic change, and I lost everything. And this was mind-boggling, but it was an effect on my life as well.
And as you were saying, you lost everything. You know, your faith was the one that kicked in to hold you during this terrible time or ordeal in your life.
If it wasn't for God on my side, I don't know where I would be. And I had enough. I just don't know. If I wouldn't have had God, I don't think I would have made it. It was the faith and the holding to Jesus, leaning on his everlasting arm that kept me standing and kept me firm.
Now, when did you find out that you had this skill of writing in your life? Because we're going to go back and we want you to share some of your writing with us. But what was the earliest age that you said, hey, I enjoy this and I really enjoy what I'm doing?
You know, Brother Lewis, it was ironic. When I was a little child, I picked up a book and my mother had it, and it was by Langston. And ever since I read his poem, I read his poem, and I saved it, and I said, this sounds good. And then I started reading after that a lot of poems. But it didn't kick in until the age of 17 when I just really loved poetry writing. I just loved writing poems, and I think that's where my inspiration came for after school and everything. But I really, really did more deeper into writing poems. I just love it.
What do you get your inspiration from as you write your poetry? I know we get it from a lot of sources, but for our listening audience, how would you develop a poetry, a sense?
Believe it or not, Proverbs, the Bible. And I'm not saying it to make myself even Proverbs. I'm more than anyone. It's just like I just love the Bible, but I love Proverbs. And ever since then, I just love that type of wording and how the way it worded and just took it from there. I just love writing poetry. Most of my poetry consists of spiritual poetry and spiritual poems, and that's where I get my inspiration from, the Bible.
Hey, man, that is so great. And we know, Rena, I asked you that because our young people, that they struggle with their career and trying to find their self-worth in life. We want them to know that God could use them right where they are with the writing and the songs and the things that they have learned throughout their brief life and how their goals, you know, the things they pursue. The world try to point you in one direction, but God has a greater plan for you.
Yes, and that's where it came from, and for us to be encouraged. I encourage all young people as well as old to just get out there, find your dreams, follow your hearts of hearts, and dig deep into what your talent is and share it with the world, because it may have an impact on a lot of people. You never know.
Yes, it will, yes. And tell me now about your book, your first book here. So how many pieces of poetry are you having that you think? Just right off the top of your head.
76.
Oh. Well, that's great to say your order. You know what you got there. Hey, that's great. I'm looking at your cover now. It's a beautiful cover there. And, you know, I'm looking at the cover. It kind of relaxes you. You know, it's kind of like, oh, could you in a good frame of mind. So.
Yeah.
Now, how did you, what did you do to develop your talent? Did you go to school or just a God gift?
It's a God gift.
That's great. That's great, because we know that, you know, and God fine tunes things too. But basically, it's a God gift. So I'm glad you shared that with us, because some people need to know this. Say, oh, I don't have the proper education. Well, guess what? None of us have that proper education to do some of the things that we're doing. You know, we just have to be doing it. But God blesses it, you know, if it be His will.
Uh-huh.
And that's what our show is all about. Now, will you please continue to share your inspirational writings with us regarding Black Gumbo?
Okay, now Black Gumbo, now this particular book, I call it, it's a long title, it's Black Gumbo, The Healing of a Sitting Wound, August 29, 2005. This book was published, just like I said, in 2009 by Publish America. In fact, all three of my books are published by Publish America. It's a book of poetry also, and it shows the different ways the hurricanes took the city by storm. Literally, you know, this book of poetry stands on hope as well, and the hope of the healing process that is still going on today. This book opens up with my view of New Orleans, and the next page consists of the views of Hurricane Katrina. And if you don't mind, I would like to read part of what I said about the book of things like Gumbo about the hurricane.
Go right ahead.
Okay, it is. In this book of poems, you will read how the devastation impacted the hurricane had took upon the city. Although it's not their first or our first devastating hurricane, because in 1965, there was a hurricane called Betsy. It, too, wreaked havoc on the city, but not to this caliber, only to a certain degree. Because Hurricane Betsy was a Category 3 hurricane. I explained it all in the book. But in this book, Black Gumbo, every page tells the story of how the hurricane affected our lives.
Amen, amen. That's powerful. Now, tell me, now you're in Dallas, Texas right now, right?
Yes, Brother Lewis.
Now, are you planning on going back to New Orleans and the stay, or do you go back to New Orleans from time to time? What is your connection with New Orleans? Do you still have that connection?
Yes, I had went back to New Orleans in 2010. I went there. I stayed for about 9 months. I stayed to see how everything was, you know, and visit my family, because some of my people are still back there. And I just stayed for a while, but I enjoyed, well, I've seen some of the things that rebuild, and it's much better than what it was. And like the Joy Theater is up and running, the French Quarter, the people are coming back to New Orleans to visit. Got lots of tourists, and things are kind of looking up. And I commend them on a fantastic job, because you have to keep rebuilding. You know, you just can't let everything just die down and let it go away. And this is how the way we love New Orleans. And I think, yeah, I'll come back, you know, visit from time to time. I love New Orleans, but I'm here in Dallas, and I'm loving Texas right now. I'm sorry, but I'm loving Texas.
Amen. Now, I tell you what, now, would you care to share some of your poetry regarding your soul inspirational writing? I think our audience would love to hear a couple of pieces of that if you have a desire to share with us.
Okay, one, the first poem is about life after Hurricane Katrina. This is from the book Soul to Soul of Inspiration. It goes like this. Life is life. Sunrise and sunset. When you wake up in the morning, you still don't know the fullness of the whole day. You might think you're in control of it all or know it all, but all in all, there is someone who made us all and knows all about it. Reach out and touch him? No, not with your hands, only with your heart. Because through the thick and thin of life, that our soul is captured and takes its soul on the back-breaking, mind-bending work that shows only on the sweat of our brow, collectively, is automatically tipped over to a man who holds the whole soul in the palm of his hand.
Yes, go right ahead. Oh, that's beautiful there.
And you want me to do one more?
Yes, ma'am. Please do.
Okay, this one is called Hurricane Katrina and her twin sister Rita.
Okay, go right ahead.
The year 2005 came in with its hard-hitting blows and its catastrophic woes that took our lives that were once on a steady floor. I know that's the way life goes when you're looking up and down instead of straight ahead. But head on, they came mean like tons of leaders, packing waves and tossing them down at our feet that dampen our spirit, but not our hope. Because now we look beyond the sky to rebuild our lives from the rubble that was once tore up from the flow up. And this pace, we are to embrace the vigilant array of sunlight that darkened black skies. But in the year of 2005, I always remember the devastating blows of Hurricane Katrina and her twin sister Rita.
Oh, all right. Oh, what a beautiful poetry they had there from Ms. Vera there. We want to thank her for being a guest on the show, for also being a listener, too. So you're out there this morning. God bless you. Have a great day in the Lord. And thank you for supporting this program. Now, Mr. Daniel.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that was great.
She's a great poet.
Yeah, she's a great poet.
Yeah, I really
friend.
Enjoyed that show. I remember that show, too, you know, Black Gumbo. that's a bad name, too.
That's great reading, too. So I encourage our listening audience to go out and pick it up there. She gave us some information regarding how to pick that book up. And plus, you can always go back to all our archives. Portion of Free on the Inside. You can listen to all these shows in its entirety. And what I would like to do is just encourage our listening audience that we have a lot of stuff here. We have a lot of material that God has blessed us to be able to have. Go back, follow up on this stuff here, man. We're talking about Beat the Streets. They're talking about, you know, what we need to do to assist our brothers and sisters, about Aaron Thomas that runs a magazine, and then even yourself on here. You have quite a bit to offer. And so what else we got there, Brother Daniel?
Well, I can go way back. You know, I remember when we had this guy, he was around Christmas time. His name was Don Diego. You had him on now. He was a saxophone player. You interviewed him. We had this other guy. He's international minister. He went to Israel. He knows about the Islamic Israel way of approaching the Bible. What was his name?
Dr. Fletcher or something, I believe it was.
Dr. Fletcher. I was on that interview then. Dr. Fletcher,
You know, there was a lot of history in that interview, too, man. And I said, wow, man, I didn't realize how much black people in the culture of our race, man, are intertwined with Israel, man. Because we see Israel as standing alone, but that ain't true, man. and he was talking about history, how, you know, how the Jewish culture supported the black people during the civil rights in the background, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that we didn't ever think of. So, man, we and then we have another interview coming up here called Prison Fellowship. They're getting ready for their Angel Tree ministry for incarcerated inmates. We're going to play a short portion of that interview. And, Brother Daniel, we ain't got enough time to do all this, man. I thought maybe I'd say, I get in here and hit 5 or 6 shows, man, but I don't have them. Once I start playing them, I say, man, it sounds good to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the sound clips. And if y'all know, like we say, you can go back off in the iCards and you can pull up all your shows that you own. Remember that now. You're never gone. You're always there. As long as the internet, you always be there. So you can always pull up your shows. You can always pull up the dates. And you can really listen to what you said that day.
That's so right. And hey, you know what? We got like 500 and we almost got 600 shows, man. That we have done. That's over a 5-year period, man. That's quite a bit of show then. And talking about guests, we had just about 600 guests, man, on the program because we do 2 guests a week. So we have quite a few people that we have presented to our listening audience, man, that are actually making a different impact on our society. People that far away from Kenya, Africa, I'm still blown away by that. This young man that's in Africa, man, that's doing ministry out there, man. He goes to the what we call the poor side of town, but they are the poorest side of town. He said people still living in grass huts with dirt floors and living conditions are terrible, man. But he's sharing the gospel and he's changing lives. Then we have a young lady that did a ministry in the Philippines, man, for runaway kids that are living in they're living in the mortuaries, man. That blew my mind, man. Can you imagine somebody waking up in a crypt, man, on a day-to-day basis while we sit around? We complain about it's too hot, man, but people living in in a crypt, man. Well, dead people once stayed.
Yeah, that's cool. It's another show I remember now. I remember about the child trafficking.
Yeah. Oh, man, Yeah, the child trafficking. You know
really,
what?
That really upset me when I heard about that, man. You know, that we're living in the 21st century and stuff like that still going on, man.
Yeah, and CNN did one a couple of weeks ago, man. We had Jada Pinkerton was talking about trafficking, man, sex trafficking. I said, wow, man, we were on to something, man. Because that stuff is still prevalent today, you know. And I didn't realize that they say a lot of these truck stops, man, a lot of that goes on. And I just see a truck stop, I never think nothing of it. But it's a lot of stuff goes on in plain sight. It ain't necessarily got to be at the truck stop. It could be at the bus station. It could be at the bus stop. And we never see people just standing there. And they could be working for somebody else. Somebody else put them at the bus stop. Hey, you stand here and customers going to come by.
Uh-huh.
And they drop you out like you're going to catch the bus. And, you know, stuff like that, it kind of blows your mind. But we got another short interview that's coming up here from the Prison Fellowship talking about the Christmas program here. Hopefully we get enough of that in there so you can be encouraged. So hold tight there, Brother Daniel. We're going to bring them up right now, and we're going to jump right into the middle of that interview.
All right.
Coming up right now.
Well, yeah, I definitely want to make sure I get that out before I finish. Well, you can call us toll-free. So if the listeners are getting ready to write this down, call us toll-free at 1-800-55-ANGEL. Now, that's going to be 1-800-55-26435. 1-800-55-26435. Or you can visit us at www.angeltree.org. That's www.angeltree.org.
Ms. Flores, well, thank you. I know that you pressed for time. Now, tell us now, before I let you go, what's the importance of this? How important it is for us to have proper training as we go into the jail and the prison? Because I went to one of your training sessions, man, and I was very informed, and I feel like I was empowered to go in and do the things I do. And tell us how important it is for us to be equipped to go into the jail and prison.
Well, it's definitely, we need to be equipped. And I know there's a lot of people out there that have a heart for this, have a heart, again, to reach out to the least of these. And that incarcerated man or woman in prison, they found themselves in a place where they need to, they want to change, you know, and they want to be transformed, and they want to reach out to the Lord, and they want to know more about him. But we as ministers, as the hands and feet of Jesus going into the prisons, we need to be equipped, just like in any other ministry. We need to be equipped. I would say not just like any other ministry. I think we need to be especially equipped. Because we're dealing with people who reflect society nowadays, you know, broken people, need people that are in dire need of a savior, and we can offer them that. But we have to understand that it's a different culture in there, with a different set of values sometimes, and if we're not equipped, we're not trained well, we can maybe make things worse, not just for them, but even for ourselves. So we need to be prepared, but at the same time, you know, we have to show that love of God. So we're trained. Prison Fellowship provides training to our volunteers, and we partner with ministries. We equip you, and then once you're in the prison or the jail, we even provide materials for you to use in the prison, free of charge.
Amen. Now tell us, what's the website and link that we could go to if we want to find more information, want to be a part of that? Because someone said, hey, I would like to be involved in this, but I want to be trained, and I want to know that I have support system in place so when I do go to these places.
Yeah, you can go on to www.prisonfellowship.org as well, and you'll find a lot of information. Matter of fact, we've got a lot of different ministries. That's what we call Prison Fellowship Ministries. But the one that I'm most involved with, of course, is the Prison Fellowship itself. But again, it's www.prisonfellowship.org. And if you go to the tab, there'll be certain tabs on there. If you go to the tab that says Get Involved, so have them write that down, Get Involved, the tab that says Get Involved. And under that tab, you're going to have a menu there, but you're also going to have a part there that allows you to, if you want to get involved, to put in very little information, just your name and a couple other things, email address, things like that. And someone from our ministry will contact you, and they will put you in touch with our program support specialist locally. And in turn, once she gets all the information, she's going to send it to me, and then I'll be looking at where we can position you so that you can be, again, the hands and feet of Jesus going into the prisons and the jails. But that's the process. But it all starts, just like we say in Angel Tree, we say in Prison Fellowship, it all starts with you as well. So when you take...
All right. What a great interview that we had there with Mr. Flores. We're getting ready to wind this up there. Brother Daniel.
Yeah.
All right, there, Brother Daniel. Man, that was a great interview. Right. Man, we got a whole lot of material that we would love to cover, but we just can't do it right now. But we want to thank you for supporting what we're doing here on Free on the Inside, sponsored by Greenwich Place Ministry. Greenwich Place Ministry is a nonprofit ministry that's reaching out and touched and to meet the needs of our young men and women. We're associated with other ministries. Last week we was over, we had did a program over at the Dale Rock Center. At the Dale Rock has sponsored a program and for Reconnecting Family Summit. And so we was over there. And then next month we're going down to the Dallas Life Foundation. We're doing our annual feeding called Feeding the Multitude 1.0. I said 1.0 because this is the first location, but the first of many. We have another location, which is our street ministry, and that's the 2.0 Feeding of the Multitude 2.0. Over there. Yeah, 2.0. Two places but one location. And so we got that going on. And so we thank God for that opportunity, brother. Because we don't do any of these things alone here, man. We want to thank you for supporting what we do here. And, man, we had a great time this morning, man.
Yeah, I know. It brought back a lot of memories.
Yes, it did. Yes, it did. And it also stirred up the gift of people to say, hey, I want to be a part of it. Because sometimes people hear shows and they don't hear the entire show and they don't get that phone number. So I encourage you, if you missed any phone numbers, please go back and listen to the show. Because each one of our guests, I always give us contact numbers. We're not just on here talking. We want to encourage people. That's our program. Informational.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and encourage.
Yeah, I know. That's the basic thing is passing on information. You know, like
yes,
any number, any fact, any figure, especially numbers. You know, this contact numbers are really important because when you lose out of contact with somebody, you can't get back in touch with them. You know, and that's the main thing. We want to keep be kept in touch with everybody, man, so we can enlighten their lives, we can strengthen their lives, and we can make everybody grow together.
And that is so true. Brother Dan, we're getting ready to get on out of here, man. What you got for the weekend? You got anything planned?
Well, today I got a family picnic I got to go into, man. You know, like we got to go out here today and go out and see the Johnson family picnic. You know, that's my wife's family, the Johnsons. And we got some important people in our family. You know about
them. So, bonus, you need to prepare right now. And so he gave us some information.
Yeah.
We're going to follow up on that throughout the program. And we want you to be encouraged to be about our father's business. And we have
then, brother Daniel, I see we got another sound clip that's playing up here right now.
On the line.
And so we can ready to
come
get on out of here,
okay?
Let's
share some things with her. And you,
all right. Let's see which one we got here, man. I tell you what, brother Daniel. Yeah, there we go. Hey, man, thank you very much, man. We're getting ready to get on out of here. We're going to have a word of prayer. We're going to encourage everyone to go back and listen to this show again. Go back and listen to some of our archive show. And help change your life in Jesus' name.
Amen.
All right, God bless you. We're going to have a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you for this here program. We thank you for the guest that comes on, dear Lord. We pray that that these guests here today, Lord, is able to do the thing that you put to their hands to do in the ministry. We realize that these guests do not work alone, dear Lord. They have ministry teams, and they're in partnership with other ministries, dear Lord, to do the work that you have put to their hands to do. Let them not grow weary, dear Lord. Thank you for Brother Daniel. Thank you for all the show that was shared this morning. Sister Vera, dear Lord, how she poured herself out, dear Lord, and how she put her thoughts on paper, dear Lord. But she's encouraging other people to be strong in the Lord. We thank you for Aaron Thomas, dear Lord, at By Design Magazine, dear Lord, how he's reaching out to the community, dear Lord, and sharing their stories, dear Lord. And how we have a ministry called Beat the Street, dear Lord. How they put it to their heart, dear Lord, to go out and to take care of the health need of the men and women on the street, dear Lord. For this is a ministry which you have ordained. You have put these ministries in place. And we have so many ministries and individuals that we have brought forth, dear Lord, through your grace and your mercy, dear Lord. We thank you for sharing them with us. We call it an honor, dear Lord, to walk beside such great men and women. Thank you for Brother Daniel. We pray that him and his family have a blessed time in the Lord today. And next week when he come back on, he could share with us what went on with the family reunion of the Johnson family. Watch over that family, dear Lord. Lift that family up. Let that family be the family which you calling for such a time as this. Regardless of what goes on today, dear Lord, let that family be established in your word. God bless you, Brother Daniel. God bless you to our listening audience. Until we meet again next week, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Amen.
Amen. Be free on the inside.
And free on the inside each and every Saturday morning. Amen. God bless you. Looking forward to speaking with you next weekend.